You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
I want to share some thoughts with you this evening under the heading of God's ambition for us. And my text is there in the reading that you heard this evening. In verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Not so very long ago, I was asked by a small Baptist church down in the town where I now live in Cheltenham to prepare a study for them. They do have their minister, but he's only part-time, and bless him, he allows me from time to time to do things just to give him a break and also to feel as though he's being fed. I was asked particularly if I would do a study on the Acts of the Apostles. And I entitled it, Let My People Grow. We looked and reflected upon the rapid growth of the early church. Question of the second variety. And for those of you who work with me this morning, I do like to throw questions to you. If it's a number one type, I expect an answer. If it's a number two type, it's a rhetorical question, one for you to answer yourself. This is a number two type. Should we? Are we? Or I perhaps ought to say, should you? Are you ambitious for the future of this, your church? You know, there's nothing wrong in us having ambition. I say that in the light of what's going on politically today. There's nothing wrong in having ambition, but isn't it a shame that our politicians seem to want to take dirty great chunks out of each other rather than focusing in on the issues that will formulate their premiership or whatever, should they be God's chosen one. There's nothing wrong in having ambition, providing it is God-centered. And that we are genuinely seeking God's sovereign will and not ours. And yet I wonder, have you ever stopped to think that God is ambitious for you? For that is, I suggest, the essence of Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. And to illustrate what I mean, like all good Baptist ministers, and yeah, I do try to keep to it. This is what I was taught in college. I want to consider three things, 3 points from this particular passage. Can I have the first one, please, Morris? Well, there you are. He was worried about all three coming up together. Well done, that man. Well done, that man. God's vision for a praying, expectant people. To Paul, being an example, Paul is in actual fact an example of this in verses 15 and 16. Let me just remind you again. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you and remembering you in my prayers. Now, to understand the background a little of Paul's ministry in Ephesus, may I suggest, in your own time, when you get home, that you have a look at Acts chapter 19. For it tells us all about the three-year ministry in Ephesus that Paul had. And he's clearly thrilled with the depth of their ongoing, continuing faith. He continues his ministry, albeit at a distance, by praying for them. And may I say to you, with all humility, but genuinely, I remember you as a church, as I remember before God each day, all the churches that he has graciously not only allowed me to be the minister of, but the contact that I've had with those churches. Paul's praying for the Ephesian church. As I say, he continues that ministry, albeit at a distance, and he longs for them to continue to grow in grace, as is seen in verses 17 and 18. And it's here that we see the inextricable link between growth and prayer. Again, one of the joys for me when Sue wrote to me earlier last week was to see that there was a prayer meeting. Not just the meeting in the vestry, and please don't get me wrong, I appreciate those of you who join me tonight. But for this morning, for there to be a genuine prayer meeting, for not just 5 minutes, but for a good length of time in the Hardiman room. And again, it was a privilege to make sure that I planned my journey so that I could arrive either on time or shortly afterwards to go and join that time. Paul is really good because he's showing them the importance of any growth that there might be in the church linked to that of prayer. And he longs for them to keep growing. William Carey, we've touched upon him this afternoon as we've been talking about various things, said those wonderful words, "Show me a church that believes in prayer, a prayer answering God, and which waits upon him in a sense of urgency and commitment, and you will show me a growing, vibrant church. Likewise, show me a church steeped in prayer, who sets a time each day, a Christian, steeped in prayer, who sets a time each day to prayerfully read the scriptures, you will show me a growing and effective Christian." My friends, it's not just about praying on a Sunday. It's about praying each and every day, making time. Call it what you will, quiet time, whatever. It doesn't matter when you manage to do it. The important thing is you do it. Sadly, my experience all too often is that I think, as I speak to people and have ministered in many churches over 25 years, that God must say to himself, "Oh, how I wished my people shared my longing for them to be more effective praying people. For they don't know what they are missing." And my friends, I can testify to that in my own personal life. If I miss my prayer time, and I shouldn't really, it's just that I'm damn right lazy. Because I arise, I won't tell you, but at a fairly early hour in the day to read my scriptures and indeed to pray. And there are times when it doesn't always happen because I'm lazy. It's important that we do it each day. For I know personally that if I don't, I am the poorer for it. Even though I can go to him the following day and say, Lord, I am sorry. You know how weak and feeble I am. And I know he loves me and he will forgive me. But that doesn't stop me feeling as though I've let him down again. Like I said, God's vision is for a praying, expectant people. And again, that's important, the expectant bit. You must, when you pray, really believe that God hears your prayers. He may not answer them immediately, but he hears them. And in his sovereign will, way, and time, he will answer them. May not be the way that you anticipate, but you can guarantee he will hear and answer. Second point, please, Morris. God's vision for a maturing, growing people. Paul goes on further to speak of what God wants for us. There in verse 17, he wants to give us something, first and foremost, a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know him better. And it seems to me that the key phrase to note is that one that says, to know him better. Regrettably, in my experience, many know about God, but sadly choose not to know him personally through his Son, Jesus Christ. And again, it's only by a personal coming to our Lord Jesus and believing and trusting in who he is that we will be saved. There are too many people around who still think coming to church, simply saying, oh yes, I believe there's a God. I mean, I understand the statistics is about something like 80%+ of the population believe in God, but they don't know him personally. We need to know him through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's heart, not head knowledge, that is important, which is increased by the wisdom, of course, achieved in our steady day-to-day walk with God. Which in turn, it seems to me, leads to revelation and the things revealed through his word. Again, another reason why it's so important for us to read our Bibles each day. Lovely hymn, which I guess doesn't see the light of day that often nowadays, written by George Rawson. We limit not the truth of God. But it's the chorus that stuck in my mind. The Lord has yet more light and truth to break forth from his word. And then secondly, he has an inheritance for us there in verse 18. That you may know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now that's interesting. The inheritance is not in himself, as would be logical. For salvation, of course, is entering all the riches of God's love. But his inheritance is in us, you and I. His investment of Jesus was in us, in all people. So when we are saying to ourselves, I'm tired and I can't be bothered to go to study group tonight, or I've had an awful week and I really can't raise the energy to go to church and share with God's people. My friends, dare I suggest that we not only let ourselves down, but God also. And we miss out what is for our good. I know it's not easy sometimes to be in a church fellowship, to find a church fellowship that you can relate to. But we are meant to be in fellowship. And I just encourage you, if you're not in fellowship, or indeed, if you're finding it tough going, just to persevere and trust God. He will answer you. He will lead you. Just be prepared that it may not be in quite the direction you thought. And so to our third point, please, Maurice. God's vision for a powerful people. Finally, Paul ends with two apparent different conclusions here. For in verse 19, he writes of the great power at work in those who believe. But then in verse 23, goes on to state that it culminates in the body, the church. And yet, sadly, all of us, when we stop to think about it, bear some responsibility for divisions and weaknesses. As we were talking this afternoon, the phrase came to mind: if you find the perfect church, don't join it. There isn't a perfect church. I dare to say to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ who belong to this church, it ain't perfect. And if you tell me it is, I don't believe you. It's striving to be, praise the Lord, but seriously. Fellowship is important. It really, really is. It really is. I wonder sometimes how God must despair of us when he finds that things just aren't going the way that he thought they should. And yet, look at the resources we have available to us. Then again, in verse 19 and 20, power, might, victory. Again, as I was writing and setting these things down, the chorus came to mind: in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. How sad that we rarely seem to live like it, when in reality, we should be claiming it. We should be expecting it. And we should, of course, be working for it. Question again, I come back to you of the second variety. Are you expecting this, your church, to grow? Indeed, are you expecting to grow in your own personal faith this year? Well, if the response is, I don't know, let me again refer you to that great Baptist forebear, William Carey, who said perhaps his most famous words, or at least a part of them: attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. And all of us need to grasp, whoever we are, wherever we are, that it isn't so much our own ambition that counts. It's God's ambition for us, because his is entirely selfless. Oh, that our politicians would learn that lesson. Amen.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.